Good morning, everybody. Good morning on
Good
this
morning.
Sunday morning. I hope everybody's doing well. We are 1 week away from the inauguration. Can you believe it? 1 week. And, you know, Canada may end up becoming the 51st state.
Hey, they open up the borders, maybe the mail wouldn't cost so much.
Hey, Ardina and Bruce, I got to ask y'all something. If they open the borders, y'all going to move down here to Tennessee with us?
Who knows?
Yeah.
It would be open.
That would be hilarious to have all of y'all Canadians move down here. That would be awesome, man. Y'all would love the weather down here.
Who would ever dream that would be possible years ago?
I know it. But you know what? I showed that map the other day, that Club of Rome map. It really is coming.
Yeah,
we're there. We're going to take over Mexico and Greenland, and it's going to be a zone.
Yeah, that's been in the works for a couple of decades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe y'all would get to move down here. That'd be funny. Anyways, we better get into church mind. All right, here we go. Good morning. Good morning. We love all you guys. Today we're focusing our attention on worship because as the persecution's increasing and as the days are getting closer to the grosser darkness and where fear is trying to set in because of everything escalating the way they are, we're going to have to learn how to worship and how to praise God in the most ridiculous situations. So I'm going to start off this morning. I'm going to read you Isaiah 44. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant in Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O church. This is God talking to us this morning. My servant and thou Jezreel, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Isn't this beautiful? One shall spring up as among the grasses, willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And we're declaring that this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, there is no God but our God. And who is I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Bam, bam, bam. We are his witnesses. In this hour, thus we do not fear. We are not afraid to go forward in 2025. Because whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Isn't that beautiful? Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Verse 8, we are in Isaiah 44. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it that you are even my witnesses? Now, Bride, we have to know that the Lord has said, it is those that overcome how in the last days? By the word of our testimony. Our testimony is the testimony of Jesus. This is why in the Bible college right now, our very first semester is focusing on our identity. Because this is the key to our victory, is knowing who we are in Christ. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know that they may be ashamed. Who has formed a god, a molten, a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed. And the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both works in the coals, and fashions it with hammers, and works it with the strength of his arms. But yea, he is hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches out his rule. He marks it out with a line. He fits it with planes. He marks it out with a compass and makes it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. In other words, they're doing everything crafty within their own strength in this humanistic way. Yes, they're making idols, just like the children of Israel when Moses was with God.
And that, go back to verse 9, this one word stuck out of me. They that make a graven image are all of them in vanity, and they're delectable. What's that word? Who did they elect? Is that like elect?
No, delectable is like a delight.
Oh, okay.
A goody goody.
Okay, I was wondering what that word meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
He, in other words, like in verse 14, he hews down cedars and takes the cypress and oak. I think about you cutting down all them trees back there, which he strengthens for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants in ash, and the rain does nourish it. In other words, everything that all these people in this beast system are doing is within their own might and in their own power. They may conjure up demons, and they may use Nephilim, strength and things of that nature. But all their plans are null and void when it comes to our God. We have the God of all gods. We have the God that trumps all of theirs. We have the God. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindles it and bakes bread. Yeah, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it a graven image and falls down thereto. He burns part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eats flesh. He roasts, and is satisfied. Yea, he warms himself and says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he makes a god, even his graven image. He falls down into it and worships it and prays to it and says, deliver me, for thou art my God. I think about all these things, like, you know, Elon making this big, Colossus. Did you know he calls that supercomputer Colossus?
Really?
Yeah, but the actual name of it, like the AI, is called Grok, G-R-O-K. But the big supercomputer is called Colossus. It's just, he calls it his God. He has made a golden image, a golden calf, you know, where he worships AI and everything. And they may have things for a season and may have it, but it's all going to fall null and void. I mean, there is nothing... There's nothing that they can do that, is going to trump our God. Everything, in other words, Pastor, that they're allowed to do is because of that word allowed.
Right.
That's what the judgment is. People say, well, we know this is harp and we know all this is all fake. But if God's hand was upon us the way we was, they would never be able to do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's because of judgment.
Yeah, exactly. This is the judgment.
Our free will's chosen these images.
Yes.
These man instead of him. They think, you know,
yes,
the world thinks they can do it on their own, just like it's saying here.
Yes.
But.
And you think about Adam and Eve, because, you know, we're all studying the garden. That is how Lucifer tempted Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, the word really means this. You know, like he twisted.
Right.
God didn't say that, you know, you couldn't eat it. You know, yeah, because he's saying it, twisting it, like it's because of what he knows that you're going to learn, you
right.
know. But anyway, all deceiving. And that's what's happening with this image of the beast. They're all being deceived, but all of their plans are null and void when it comes to God's ultimate plan. I mean, we serve literally, Pastor, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
We serve the best God of all gods. And that's what today's service is really focused on, is the weapon of warfare of worship, because we are going to have to really know who our God is in this hour, because God laughs at the plans of the enemy. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? He really does. So I'm going to start off, before we do worship, I've uploaded this little girl that's only 3 years old that sang a worship song, and I want you to hear how beautiful this and how powerful this is in the spirit. It's called You Raise Me Up. Listen to this.
Oh.
Yay! How beautiful is that, Pastor?
I was thinking, you know, you raised us up, you know, for what? For such a time as this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
Yes.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh.
Yes,
to fulfill
Lord.
The lust thereof.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Very good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. get started with the worship. Here we go. Okay, this song is called What a Mighty God We Serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
He is the King. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Okay, this next song is called How Great Is Our God. The splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, and Son, Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb.
How great
is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great,
how great.
is our God. He's a name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And our hearts sing, how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And our hearts will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will sing how great is our God. Okay, and the last song today is called Amazing Love. I'm forgiven. Because
you were forsaken.
I'm accepted.
You were condemned.
I'm alive. Your spirit is within me. Because died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Yeah, amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. And I think it's just really beautiful because I am my husband's praise and worship leader now. You know, it's just, it's almost so surreal because I actually went to Bible college, the first Bible college. I went there for praise and worship leadership. And so for me now to be leading praise and worship for the most awesome man on the planet is really such an honor. And what I remember when I went to Bible college at World Harvest, I learned under the two best people. They were so amazing. And I actually went through a lot while I was there. And God prepared me for where I'm at globally now. It's really an awesome experience. So, I think it's awesome that God is having me address this today about how is this spiritual warfare. So I just pray that God allows me through my stories I'll be telling, through the scriptures that we'll be sharing, for you to understand by just how powerful your worship is and how it is a weapon. Okay, so let's all pray and we'll get started. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day today, Lord. We thank you for being with us, Lord, for leading and guiding us, Lord, through this journey. I thank you, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to touch my lips, use my lips today, Lord. Use me for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, so let's talk about what is worship? Worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity, the worship of God. Worship is to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. A celebrity worshipped by her fans is kind of like an intransitive verb. To perform or take part in worship or an act of worship. Deuteronomy 26:10 says, "And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, has given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord your God." So even very early in the Old Testament, they worshipped. 1 Chronicles 16:29, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." Come on now. "Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Okay, I want to kind of pause here because I'm feeling this rise up in my spirit. Okay, anything we do that we put in a priority really is like worship. For instance, when we tithe and we give the first fruits of our income, and we give it to the ministry or to the church that's, you know, feeding them, that is a form of worship to God, because you're saying, "God, I recognize how you're using these people, so I am blessing them. And I am giving unto you, Lord." When you give unto the Lord. It is an act of worship. Okay, now, many of us from this 40-day team are going into a 10-day consecration, a 10-day deal with our bodies. It's like a 10-day cleanse. We start tomorrow. On Monday, we're doing an Advocare 10-day cleanse. So when we worship, when we work out, when we put our body under submission, when we fast, when we discipline our flesh and we help our spirit man to rise up, that is a form of worship. Working out is a form of worship. Because now, it can go overboard to where you worship yourself, of course, where you start idolizing yourself. But it's where you're realizing, you know, look, I am giving my body, you know, the tools it needs for it to be effective so that I can be used out here in the kingdom. You know, so you're partnering with heaven so that your body is healthy. Which I remember one time me and Pastor was live and somebody said, "I think you put too much emphasis on health." Well, what it is that my husband, you know, he has spent many years studying health. So he is training me on how to change my mind and change my thinking on how to be healthy. Well, really, you're honoring God. You're worshiping God because you're treasuring what goes in this temple, just like with the V. Okay? When you do your due diligence and you understand, stop, either, you know, I realize what you're trying to put in my temple, and I am saying no. I am not in agreement with this agenda. I am not in agreement with this mRNA. I am not in agreement with this, so thus I am saying no. You know, so it's that type of same diligence. You're just saying, I am saying no because I want my body to be healthy, and I want to really, you know, serve the Lord with my temple. And, you know, just to give you guys a report, you know, I told y'all that I had lost the 55 pounds, you know, since we've been married. There's many other things about me that has changed because of us eating healthy. I mean, my skin, my hair doesn't fall out like it, you know, used to. My gums, my teeth, you know, everything is, you know, my systems, everything is working so much better now, you know, because I'm eating healthy. It's a reward, but it's an act of worship. Okay? Okay. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That is a part of worship as well. You are humbling yourself. Okay, so I'm teaching you warfare tactics. So we're humbling ourselves. Psalm 96:9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Matthew 4:10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. This is Jesus saying, you know, get behind me, Satan. You have to worship God too. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is part of our warfare. Okay, Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Revelation 22:9, then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. He's talking about when the man tried to worship the angel because of the prophetic word he gave him. He's like, don't worship me just because I gave you a prophetic word type of deal. Praise is a weapon. I really encourage you guys to watch that movie, Divination, on PureFlix. Divination. If y'all can write that down in the chat room. Thank you. Write it down in the chat room. Divination. Because it gives you... Y'all know I like doing these things, like these PowerPoint presentations, because I like to give you a good visual of what I'm trying to say. And so... all right, so let's continue. Praise is a weapon. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the story of this house. This house that you're looking at right here. This is the one at 320 Donner Drive. This is in Clarksville, Tennessee. Okay, this house is what I got... supernaturally, the story I was telling you about. Okay, in this little bitty house, we built it, just me and my kids. You know, I was financing it, so we had it built. And I got to pick out, you know, like all the cabinets and everything. This was back in 2001. But anyway, so we built it brand new. We was able to design everything. It was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. So I was so excited. Okay, the kids were all excited. You know, they was all in high school and all this. So the boys, you know, were preaching and everything. And so one day when it was close to closing on the house, they already let us move in prior to closing. So I received a phone call, and the phone call said, ma'am, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you did not qualify for the loan, so you have 10 days to get out. You have to get out of the house. And I told them, please don't do this to me. I have my children here. They're all in high school. They're all so excited about being here. Please don't do this to us. Ma'am, I'm sorry. You have to get out. So I went into the living room right there, and I started crying out to God, God, please don't take this house. I've got to have this house. I've got these teenagers. Lord, please don't do this to me. I want them to know that they had a home before they leave this house, et cetera, et cetera. Then my whining turned into praising. I started praising the Lord, and I was like, I praise you anyway, Lord. I praise you in the midst of the storm. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. And I just start praising him in there. You're worthy. You're worthy. And I'm crying. I'm crying. I'm all in his presence and everything, and I'm worshiping him with all I got and whatnot. So after I got finished, I go back there in the bedroom, and I get a phone call. And they said, the bedroom is back here in the back here. And I get a phone call, and it's a voice on the phone. And I hear this woman singing, his eye is on the sparrow. So I'm listening, I'm thinking, Ann Opal, I thought it was Ann Opal in Florida. I thought maybe, you know, she had butt-dialed me or whatever. And it wouldn't stop, it just kept getting louder and louder. And then I realized, oh, an angel called me. Because the phone said unidentified, not unknown, but unidentified. I knew then God had an angel call me. So I sat there, I cried, and I cried. She goes, his eye is on the sparrow. I'm going to have to sing the song now. Let me look up the lyrics. His eyes. Okay, here we go. Why should I feel discouraged? Can you believe you had an angel sing this? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? And long for heaven and home. Listen to this. When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watched over me. I see because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. So I'm sitting there listening to this beautiful, beautiful angelic voice. And I'm crying and crying. And then the phone goes dead. And then the next call, ring, ring. Hello? Ma'am, this is the bank. We don't know what to tell you, but not only do you have a cheaper house note and a cheaper interest rate, but now you own a home, man. Congratulations. I was like, woo! Praise you, Jesus. Boy, I was jumping up and down. I was so excited. So we got the house. So I was so excited living in that house. And you know what? A year later, God wanted it back.
a year later. God wanted that house back. And I had to give it back. I was so sad. I had to go to Bible college. So he wanted it back. He gives and he takes away. But when we left that house, we left it spotless. It was just me and my son because Brock was going to Bible college and my daughter went to live with her dad. So me and my son Andrew stood in there and prayed and gave that house back to the Lord. We said, Lord, we thank you that we even had a year to live in this house. So that reminds me of praising the Lord in the midst of the storm brought the victory. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you the story of Bible college. Okay. When I was in Bible college, you know, there was all kinds of miracles that happened when I first went there. And because remember, the Lord told me, give up this house, give away everything you got, you know, all the furniture and stuff, and follow me. So I go here to this humongous Bible college, this humongous church, you know, it's like a 6,000 member church. And I've never been in a church this big, and I was so intimidated. But I went up there in obedience, and God gave me the, as soon as I get there, he gave me an apartment. He started giving me furniture. He paid for my son's tuition to Bible college. He paid my other son's tuition to Bible college. And he paid my tuition to Bible college. And then he paid my daughter when she finally came up there a few months later. He paid her tuition, paid all her fees, paid all my other son's fees. So God paid it all. I mean, that's all a story within itself. But the Lord, the first day school started, all of our cars quit. And we had no vehicle but one, which was mine. And it only had enough juice to drive 1 mile down the road to get me to this Bible college. That's all it had. Was it 1 mile or is it like a few miles? But it only gave me enough juice to get to Bible college and back. And it would quit on me. So I couldn't go anywhere. It's like God said, focus right here, focus. So God did my first 3 months of Bible college. He did on a 3 month scale what he did now over the last 6 years. So he did 3 months to prepare me for the 6 year global stage that launched me into the White House. So what happened was everything collapsed, you know, everything was shutting down, all the lights getting cut off, you know, they was trying to evict us and all this other stuff, and oh, I was so mad at God. I got up one morning at 1 o'clock in the morning, not really mad, Amy, but, you know, really upset at the situation. So I drove to the Bible college. Drove to the church and I saw all the nations through those poles out there on Saturday nights. He has all the nations' flags out there. And I didn't know how prophetic this was, but I sat out there that night and I said, you called me here. You told me to give up everything and come up here. I come up here with my kids, Lord. And you said you would be my husband, that you would show me that you're the true husband. Where are you at? A husband pays the bills. A husband takes care of me. And so I was having this little powwow with God in my pajamas, just to let you guys know. And then I said, but you know what, God? I don't understand why all this is happening, but I'm going to praise you anyway. And I sat out there. At 1 o'clock in the morning, I praise God. So I drove home. The next morning on my way to Bible college, to church, I ran out of gas. Me and my beautiful kids get out of the car. We're walking down the highway. Traffic stops both sides because everybody knew it in this church. And they said, night family, what are y'all doing? And I told them, I'll tell you what's happening. They said, give us the keys to your van. So they filled it up with gas. It was like $75 back then. It was like $1 million. So they filled it up, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. So I go to church, and I worship God like there was no tomorrow. I said, I worship you, even though I don't understand. I mean, it was like, you know, everything was just collapsing. So That afternoon, after I got back home, I got a phone call. Ma'am, we're going to repossess your van. I only have one note left, Bride. One note. $500. God would not get, he paid for everything else, would not give me that $500, and they took the van. So I had to hitch as a ride to church that night. And I said, I walked in the church, and I said, you know what, Lord, I have nothing else to do but just praise you. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. Oh, I cried. I cried. I praise him. I praise him. The next morning, this man walked up to me at Bible college. He said, ma'am, I don't know what to tell you, but God told me to pay all your bills. And he did. He spent $10,000 that day. He got us. He paid all of our, my rent back then was $750 a month for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. And he paid the 3 months that were behind, and then he paid 3 months up. And then he went and got the kids a bunk bed and bought us clothes and, you know, all this other stuff, paid up all our bills. And so ever since then, I never had to worry about money again because he would pay everything. People would just go to the apartments, how much is it, we're going to pay it, and they paid it. And so, but the point of it all is this. I would not have received the victory if I would not have praised God in the midst of the storm. So your worship is your warfare. Acts 16:25 says, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Now notice they're worshiping right now in prison, in their suffering. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. So their praise activated God. I will bless the Lord, Psalm 34:1. At all times, his praise will always be on my lips. Praise is a spiritual weapon against the enemy. When we resist the enemy, he will flee from us, James 4:7. Since God inhabits our praises, the enemy will take flight. Darkness must depart in the presence of light. Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. Some versions say the praises of his people. We must worship him through dance. So let's talk about this. Every move when you dance, Bride, is a sword. I see that when I dance. Like, you know, I got brave the other day. And went live and worshiped God publicly, which was a big deal. And when I'm worshiping, every move is like a sword. It's like, you know, I'm slicing darkness. You know, I'm worshiping God. I'm proclaiming by being his creation. I'm in his image. You know, I am who he designed, you know, and I am worshiping him, and I am taking all my faculties are surrendered to God and worshiping God. And it is my expression of my passionate love for my king, for my groom, my savior. So when you're dancing in worship, it is powerful in the atmosphere. I told y'all this story, but I have to tell it here. When I was in D.C. on New Year's Eve 2019, I was in this prayer room next to the Supreme Court. And the Lord spoke to me about 11:30 at night, and he said, I want you to go across the street over there to the U.S. Capitol. I want you to praise me in front of the entire world at midnight. And I went over there, in the cold, cold night. And I went out there and I turned that worship music on and I let it rip in front of everybody. I worshiped him. Whew, like there was no tomorrow. Oh, I was worshiping him, praising him out there in front of everybody. And then before I left for D.C., God asked me to do the same thing, worship in front of 400 people in this town I did not know. He told me, he said, if you do not worship me now, you will not worship me in D.C. So I knew it was a test. I went up there in front of that church and I started worshiping. And let me tell you, revival broke out in that place. I mean, it was amazing. It was phenomenal. But I went to D.C. and then God had me do it in front of the entire thing. But it is because I had no... See, well, at that time is when God made me the captain over the U.S. Capitol. So while I was over the Capitol for those 3 months on New Year's Eve, he had me go out there and do just punching the devil in the face with my worship. You know, and that's the way I see what that was. Because God was using his bride to go out there and to, you know, shift the atmosphere through my worship, you know. I see it as well that I'm romancing my king. I'm romancing my king. When I am in worship, it is me and him. It is vertical. Remember I told you about the vertical and the horizontal. It's vertical. It's a worship and a mad, passionate love affair between me and Jesus. And I told y'all what happened that one time in Nashville when that man lusted after me while I was worshiping. Not the man, but the demon in him. And, you know, I was in this meeting and I was worshiping the Lord. It's just me and him. And then all of a sudden I felt this big, ugly, green demon over here lusting. The same demon I saw over the U.S. Capitol is big old green thing with a big, this is what a perverted demon looks like. It's got a big old tongue that comes out and it goes down like this and it's like, and it's got these like, you know, flooding this vomit. And so I saw this thing was lusting after me and I said, in the name of Jesus, you will leave this room. You will not stop my worship. You know, I had to deal with that perverted, foul devil, you know. But anyway. Okay, Psalm 149:3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. In other words, use the instruments to praise him as well. One time when I was in Bible college, I was driving the Bible college bus. And I drove the students down to North Carolina to a very satanic location. And I was on the praise and worship team at the Bible college at the time. And we was in class learning about how the Holy Spirit will fall down on an instrument just like he will a human. And as praise and worship leaders, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit where he is expressing himself. So the Lord gave me a good visual of it when I was in North Carolina. So we was all doing worship this night, and all of a sudden it's like the light shined right down on this guitar, and all instruments got quiet. Everybody got quiet and let God just express himself through. I get chill bumps right now thinking about it, because that guitar was serenading God. Oh, it was so beautiful. I mean, everything just stood still while it was just worshiping God. It was just beautiful. But let them sing praises under him with the harp and with the timbrel, with instruments. 2 Samuel 6:14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Now, you know David, he worshiped God radically. He even worshiped God naked. And his wife's like, why do you go out there looking all stupid? But see, one thing about it, when you worship, is kind of like speaking in tongues. It's another one of them weapons. Because when you worship, your mind is true. Your mind is, it has to leave, or you won't be able to dance because you would feel silly in front of other people. But this is where you have to put the priorities in the right place. God overrides our image. So that's the good word for it. We have to throw our image out the window and put God's image first. So that's the way David was. So David worshiped God, you know, unabandoned. And God honored. Oh, he honored David. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Acts 13:22. Why do you think he said that about David? Because David, if he could put his image aside to worship his God and to properly adore him and to put God in his place, he'll do anything. And that is what worship is. Worship is a warfare. Because we're saying, I worship you, God. I'm giving you all of my vessel. I'm giving you my arms. I'm giving you my legs. I am worshiping you with all I got, Lord. Yes. David worshiped God even as king. David actually wrote the book of Psalms. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied with the finest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. See, he had it set in his heart, I will praise you no matter what, and you will take care of me. So let's all just lift our hands right now, say, in the name of Jesus, I will praise my King. I will worship my God. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. There is none like my King. He will provide for me. He will take care of me. He will speak to me. And he will save me. In Jesus' name. Are you ready for warfare, Bride? Now, we know that we are getting ready to go into some very, very serious warfare. This is why we was getting ready, you know, with the 40-day deal, because we know we got some extremely trying times ahead. But I want to confirm to you that soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Our groom is waiting on us, Bride. And very, very soon, we're going to be standing on that sea of glass in our robes, our white robes. And we are going to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we will be there while the world is going through the terrible, terrible wrath. And then we come back with him on that horse. And we will come back on a victory lap then. But I just want you to know, Bride, that just like I told you before about them old Negro spirituals, how those songs got them through the worst times of their history, I believe that is coming for us, and we can get through it, Bride, through our worship. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Hey, Debbie, you can do this, sis. That saved a wretch like me. All right, Bride, I hope y'all enjoyed that sermon this morning. Pastor wants to share with you guys a story about him with the Lord one time in worship. Go ahead, Pastor.
Can they hear me from here?
Yeah, scoot a little closer here.
This is back in 90, must have been the late 90s. And the church where I used to go to, they had real good praise and worship. And there was a group of us, I think 14 of us, went to Honduras for a mission trip. And we went to one of these churches, and it was a big church, but it was all, you know, in Honduran language, so we couldn't really understand it. But our interpreter would go around to each one of us and, you know, tell us a little bit about what he's saying, you know, so we could kind of catch the gist of the message. But then they broke out in worship. And this had to have been the most powerful worship that I ever was in. And we didn't even, you know, they had the music and the words, but, you know, we couldn't understand what the words were. But it was so powerful. I mean, it was just, I mean, you could just feel the presence of the Lord. And we're just, you know, we got our hands raised and we're dancing. And just the whole church, there wasn't chairs. Everybody was on their feet, you know. It was like in a big auditorium.
Yeah.
And just when they started worshiping, it was a big dance. I mean, everybody was dancing. And I'm looking around and it was like all the, it looked like 100-year-old old women and the children and just everybody worshiping.
Oh, I bet that was beautiful.
And it was, I mean, that was probably the most powerful worship that I ever was experienced, because everybody was just dancing and had their hands raised in worship, and you could just feel, I mean, the power of the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
on that, you know. And this is in an area of Honduras, you know, I mean, very, very poor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when we was out in the, we would went to all these little villages and stuff. And I mean, the kids hardly had any clothes on. If they had even a shirt, it was like, wow. And that's what we did. We took a lot of clothes over there, and we was just giving them clothes out of our suitcases. I think I went home with no clothes in my suitcase, you know. But anyway, that worship was the most powerful worship I ever experienced. It was just really awesome.
I've got a visual in my head going of it.
Yeah, I mean,
I can only imagine what it was like.
Yeah, I mean, I can just see it like it was yesterday,
yeah,
too. It was all, I mean, I just remember that these old women and old men were dancing and they were holding hands of the children. And everybody was, I mean, it was just so powerful.
Because their society is so oppressed,
yeah,
you know, and it's like a third world country there. So
yeah,
when they walk miles to get to church with no shoes on and stuff, they probably just couldn't wait to worship him. I mean,
yeah, it was really powerful. And one thing about over there too, when our interpreter took us up into the mountains to these different little churches, you know, that he, I don't know what, started or whatever, but the biggest thing was that all these pastors were telling us that the oppression was voodoo. They had,
oh, no,
yeah,
kidding.
Witchcraft and voodoo was really, you know, powerful in those mountains, and they were they were fighting, you know, all these little churches and these villages, they were fighting that off. You know,
wow.
That's something they had to deal with.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I remember like Brock and then when they went to Argentina when they was teenagers, they come back and they were on their face for a month just crying to God about how bad the American church was.
Yeah.
You know, after they went over there and they saw them people like that with no shoes and
right.
they was running to them, you know, pray for me. I mean, just so hungry
right.
and desperate.
Yeah.
Is that how it was there too?
Yeah. And then, you know, before we went, we were told that to each of us to prepare a message for the children because we went to a lot of the little schools, the church schools, you know, where the children were going to be. You know, they were showing us and we each had a chance to stand up in a different church and give a little message.
Yeah.
And my message, you know, when I was going to prepare it was on the heart. And when I was studying it, it was like, wow, wow, where do you even, I mean, if you study about the heart, you know, biblical, what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long, and so I had to like, wow, how do you do this? You know, to break it down so that little children could understand.
Right. So how'd you do it?
So I did a little message on the heart, but what I did was I took a big envelope and I got colored paper, you know, and I cut out all these different shapes of hearts. You know, all these different colors and shapes of hearts, and I put it in this great big envelope. And when I got done with my message, you know, I mean, I would have to say it, and then an interpreter would say it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I got done, and I was going to hand out hearts to all the children, and just for a piece of colored paper shaped of the heart, these kids were just like, wow. And I was just, I mean, they just all come around me. There was a circle probably 15, 20 feet all around me.
That's a sweet.
Just passing out these hearts. And I just, you know, I was tears in my eyes. And I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, I bet.
You know, just that's how poor.
The joy of getting just that little heart.
Just that little colored paper heart, you know. And it was really awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And then we end up. Well, there was 14 of us there, and everybody went back except me and then my best friend Jim and his wife Kay. We stayed an extra 3 days, and then our guide took us way up into the mountains, you know. And that's
that'd be cool.
Yeah, and that's when we learned more about the voodoo, and you know,
'cause
he took us tours of the different little churches that you know he was pastoring, whatever. And
yeah,
so. Yeah, it was a powerful experience.
You know, that's the one thing I regret about the world today. That was my heart's desire. I wanted to travel the entire world and preach the gospel.
Uh-huh.
I just, when I hear your story, I just dream in my heart, you know. But I know one day I'll get to see them all in heaven, so. Mm-hmm. But I told the Lord one day in prayer, I said, Lord, I want to kiss the face of all your nations.
Mm-hmm.
I have kissed a lot of the faces, like in prisons and stuff, but not to the scale of what I wanted to as a missionary,
right.
You know. But anyway, well, that's our sermon today, Bride, is on worship and to encourage you. You know, to worship the Lord no matter what you're going through. That's what's going to get us through. And then, you know, through the persecution and everything. Because, see, worship takes you out of yourself, Pastor. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Because in ourself, you know, our mind wants to be sad and wants to, you know, focus on what it is we're facing, you know. But when you worship, it's putting him above your natural circumstances. It's like, I worship you, Lord, even when I don't understand. I worship you when I can't see the answer. I worship you when I'm out of myself. I don't know what to do, you
right.
know. But it's like, worship is like a whole spiritual warfare tactic.
Yeah.
Okay, look at the children of Israel. How God, how he moved when they worship him.
Right.
You know, and that's what God wants us to know before we go into our greater days of persecution coming. Is that worship is going to get us through. It really is.
Yeah. Another experience I had over there was one night where, you know, where we were staying, this pastor of that big church, he come over and with, you know, we had a meal, and then we all went into a room and we were sitting there and in a circle, and he was, you know, sharing with us, you know, about his vision for, you know, what he's doing over there. And then he went around the room and laid hands on each one of us and prayed over each one of us, you know. And
aww.
And I know that time, I mean, there was only a couple times where I got hands laid on me to where I hit the floor.
Yeah.
And when I come up, I mean, I was just soaking wet from my tears and sobbing, you know. But that time God showed me, you know, I mean, it was like just in a flash, and it was to have the burden for your lost family. I don't even know how to explain it, but it was a high speed flash of all my, you know, I come from a big family, 10 kids.
Yeah.
And it was this revelation, I guess, you know, about how your family's lost. You know, I was the first one to walk out of the Catholic Church.
Wow, Dennis.
You know, and go to a different church, and you know, and I was ostracized. You know,
you was the black sheep for sure.
Yeah, you know, oh, look, he's going to the cult church and blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, that's another story, but how then my parents seen that, the change in me. But anyway, it was another really powerful thing that God flashed all this, you know, this burden for my family and how they're lost and, you know, walking. I don't even know how to explain it, but.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the Catholic Church versus the Pentecostal Church that you went to, the non-denominational, I mean, those two worships are way totally opposite.
Oh, sure.
Because in the Catholic Church, do they even worship the Lord?
Well, they sing the old hymns.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
What they do. And it's some, I mean, they're good, but they're kind of dull. They don't do it in a real worship atmosphere. And I can give you another story is again, I'm a single dad raising my daughter, and she was probably in fifth grade or sixth grade, and there was an advertisement, and there was going to be this band going to be playing in this church. It was called Higher Power, and something told me you got to go see him. So I thought, well, me and my daughter are going to go there. So we went to this other little town, and here it was in a Catholic church. And we get there, and we kind of get seats kind of up front, but it was all these older people. It wasn't a young crowd or anything. It was an older group of Catholic, you know, in this old church, and we're sitting there, okay, you know. and so
yeah.
Here's this priest, you know, and he was up there and he was playing this music on an organ. It was an old tube organ, you know, got the big pipe organ and stuff like that. And it was really, it reminded me of the old Dracula movie.
Oh, exactly what I was thinking.
With the old
of.
Pipe organ.
Yeah.
And it was real eerie music. And my daughter was holding on to my arms like, Dad. And I'm like, I know, let's just sit tight, you know. And finally it got done and it was all quiet. And But all of a sudden, then this music started. And it was a pick me up, get me going type of music.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm sure they've never had in this Catholic church.
Yeah.
And it was, we're like, wow. You know, and here this band, this it's called Higher Power, and they all come from the back to the front, and they were, and I can't remember the song, but it's kind of a country pop worship. I mean, it was really good music, and they come from the back to the front, and it was upbeat, you know, and we're sitting there like, wow, all right, you know, and during the first couple songs, you know, all these people from this Catholic church, these old people just sat there. And it was weird, kind of eerie that they just, you know, they weren't like moving their head to the beat, you know, like worship, you know, how we would.
Yeah.
But what I noticed was before they got, you know, about halfway through it, here a lot of these old people were doing that. They were moving with the groove, you might say. And it was a big change. But and then they had a real good message with each song. And, yeah, it was real good. I ended up getting about three or four of their CDs. Very good worship. But
yeah.
That was in a Catholic church.
Well, you know what's interesting, knowing how the Catholics like to worship, is how that Mike Bickle, the one from IHOP, did that event, the conference every year, the week after Christmas. But he would do it for all of the regular non-denominational people. But then afterwards, he would do a Catholic one.
Hmm.
Where his people, which do that awesome Bethel type of worship and Hillsong, would train the Catholic leaders.
Hmm.
And now we see them, you know, because this was years ago when I was exposing this back in 2018.
Right.
Now we see that all that they learned, now they're traveling the world playing that kind of music. To me, it is to lure the Pentecostal people into Catholicism.
Right.
Into this thing.
And that's interesting that you say that, because
using our type of music, yeah, type of deal.
Years later, and this is when I was living down in Missouri then, and my youngest sister, Diane, and her husband, Clay, well, they're real deep into the Catholic Church, you know, and do a lot with, you know, programs and all that, which is all cool, you know, and they went to a concert. And I'm thinking it was Michael W. Smith coming.
Oh, okay.
And she really enjoyed it because she sent me a thing, you know, a text message about, wow, we went to this concert. It was so good. I'm thinking, all right, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's totally different than the music coming out of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So there you go. They infiltrated into the,
mm-hmm,
which is all good, you know, but it was just interesting.
Yeah.
When she sent me that, and I'm thinking, you know, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, because see, this kind of music, you know, they want the young people back.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, all right, everybody. I guess we've really enjoyed spending time with you guys today, and we really hope that y'all have a wonderful day. We did good. We got finished 10 minutes before our deadline.
Oh, I didn't know we had a deadline.
Remember, for church, we said, because, you know, we wanted to encourage you guys, if you want to go to some kind of local church, you know, that
right,
we'd be done by 9, so that you guys, you know, could go to a local church if you wanted to, because we know those days are coming to a close, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.